And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery.
No, it's live from Washington, D.C.
It's time for the I Love Ann Show.
Oh, that's right. We are live from Washington, D.C. I've waited for weeks to be able to say this, live from Washington, D.C. Right now, I have, Congressman Tim Scott. I mean, I think you're down to 2 hours before it's official.
Well, we're thankful to be here with you, Ann. How are you?
I am good. You know, it is, I have read your bio. I've read your background. Amazing story.
Yeah, I feel blessed by the good Lord himself to be where I am today. I had a great, strong mother who helped me to understand the individual responsibility was the beginning of real freedom. And so sitting here today, it's just a blessing from God and a strong mother who believed more in my future than I did myself. So it's a blessing to be with you here this morning, Ann.
Well, you talk about a strong mother. Did you ever get a whooping?
Well, you know, back in my day, we used a switch, and so we had lots of whippings. The challenge was my mother had a psychological issue, and it was called how to make sure that Tim Scott became somebody, and she would always make me walk out to the tree to pick my own switch. I tried to bring back a little switch one time, and I learned the lessons of speed, and I brought back a tree branch and learned the lessons of weight. So either way I went, I found myself understanding that my mother was connected and committed to one single soul goal in her life, and that was making sure that if I didn't become someone, she said she brought me in this world, and as you know, they can take you out. And so she was in the process of taking me out on a couple of occasions, so yes, ma'am.
You know, that's very interesting. Why do you think your mother was like that? I mean,
I think being raised in a single-parent household, she felt like the responsibility that God had given her was to make sure that her two boys became someone. She felt like we had a golden opportunity, and she understood that our circumstances might find itself in our way. And she was bent on making sure that nothing stood in our way except for the person in the mirror. And consistently, she taught me that it was more important for me to look within myself and not around where I was living or what I was doing, that if I would find strength within, which she would consider the Holy Spirit in God himself being within us, that strength would give me the courage to overcome my obstacles and give me the optimism to see a future that I could design around Proverbs 29:18, that without a vision, people perish. They cast off restraint. And as a kid that almost dropped out of high school in the ninth grade, I failed world geography, civics, Spanish, and English. When you fail Spanish and English, you are not bilingual, okay? Not bilingual at all. They call you bi-ignorant because you can't speak in any language.
Right.
And that's where I found myself. But my mother consistently brought me back to the goal of being someone who makes a difference. Do not be a liability to your community, to your county. Be an asset. And in spite of my situation and my circumstances, she continued to encourage me sometimes with a switch, sometimes with love and words of encouragement. And as a sophomore, I met John Moniz, who was a Chick-fil-A operator, a born-again Christian, who happened to be a conservative, who took a special interest in me and invested so much of his life for 3 years into mine.
Why did he do that?
I believe in divine intervention. I really do. I think that there is no such thing as coincidences. There are God-cidences. Yes, ma'am. When you find the Lord shows up and does amazing things in amazing ways. And that is the story of my life. I've just had great opportunities that I can't say that I earned, that they were a gift. They were grace in action. And he invested in me in such a way that he taught me that if you're going to make a difference, you're going to have to start with yourself. That ultimately, if you are not individually responsible, it's your fault. If your life doesn't turn out the way that you want it to, it's your fault. If you find yourself living in a place that you don't want to live, driving a car you don't want to drive, having a job you don't want to have, it's your fault.
Well, I tell you what, I'm motivated. I'm just moving on up here now.
I tell you, he did a great job. He really did. And when we think about that as a country, and where we sit today in this great office of Jeff Duncan's, God bless the upstate, what we find here today is that our country's future is in the hands of everyday Americans. And if, in fact, we are going to make this country better, we're going to go back to Ronald Reagan, our great president, who believed that the power was with the people and not with the government. If we are going to see that day come to fruition, it will be because everyday folks like you, Ann, and me will work together to make sure that the future of this country is better than the one that we inherited. That means we have to stop spending money we do not have. It means that we have to make sure that the job creation machine is in the private sector, that the government cannot create sustainable jobs. And if we continue to spend money we do not have, if we continue to create new entitlements like national health care, we will find ourselves in an abyss, a bottomless pit. And it's called financial insanity, and we have to stop the madness. And we start that by having members of Congress like Jeff Duncan, like Trey Gowdy, and Mick Mulvaney from South Carolina leading the charge in the right direction towards financial sanity. That's how we start, and I'm just excited to be a part of that team.
You know, so many people, though, just don't believe this. They believe in the handout. They believe in figuring out how to get that next handout, whether it's young women having another child and another child just to be able to stay on welfare. What has happened? Why has it happened?
Well, I think the notion is entitlement, that in fact there is an undergirding in our country that is insidious in its very nature that simply suggests that there's a way up by having your hand out. That doesn't work. What we realize and what they will realize is that the day will come when there is too little to make progress. And at that point, it will be too late to make that progress. So what we have to do is we have to challenge ourselves and challenge those folks who have the entitlement mentality to take a look in the mirror. Ask yourselves, is this country going to produce the type of return that will be better for your children's children? Proverbs 13:22 says we leave an inheritance to our children's children, because it's called the wealth of the wicked. If we're going to find that opportunity in this country, it's going to start with the person in the mirror. And if they're unable or unwilling to get out of the way of their own success, then we have to nudge them in the right direction. That means we have to reform the entitlement programs, and we cannot increase and or add to the entitlement programs another one. By not doing so, we are telling folks that we expect you to be a living asset of our country. And if you do that, your family's family or your multiple generations of your family will benefit because you decided to make the sacrifice so that America would be great.
Neil, you're a heck of a speaker.
Well,
I'm just going to say that right now.
I got excited when I walked in the room with you, Ann. I tell you what, this is a great place to be. You're excited. I love your purple outfit. You've got the little thing. It's looking good. So I figured I had to raise my game to another level just to compete in this room. So that's what I decided to do.
No, well, it's great. Listen, we're supposed to hear South Carolina news. We're doing this for the South Carolina Network, but I hope you can stay for a few more minutes because we need to talk a little more.
Yes,
can you got a second or
I
two
do.
For me?
For you, Ms. Ann, I will be here for another 10 minutes.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Oh, that's right. We are live right here from Jeff Duncan, Congressman Jeff Duncan's office. I am talking up to a real fired up guy. You know, everybody told me, Congressman Tim Scott, that I would love sitting down talking to you. And I tell you what, this is an ultimate pleasure to talk to somebody that is so fired up. You're in the news today on the Washington Post, has you freshman to watch. What is it, the top 10 here? And you are on the list here. What do you think?
Dag blasted, I'll be dog. It's just a good day. Yeah, what I hope to do is make sure that South Carolina remains prominent in the nation's eyes. My theory is this, that we have an opportunity to improve our reputation while increasing our expectations as a state. We have an amazing talent pool in South Carolina. We have an opportunity to make sure that our talent pool is displayed, and that means making sure that Congressman Duncan, who just became a whip, here's a House whip, two House whips from South
you're
Carolina.
A House whip too, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
You have to whip them into shape.
Well, Jeff was my basketball coach and captain in the State House, so we know that he has skills. But what we're going to find is that the conservative construct that leads America will lead us to the promised land. And so for me, being one of the 10, it's nice, but what's more important is making sure that I'm one of the many from South Carolina where we have an opportunity to increase our profile from a national perspective. So many people don't know the South Carolina that you and that I know. We know South Carolina that works together. We know South Carolina that's very educated, very motivated, and inspired about making change. If we allow ourselves to be beacons of light for our state, we'll find that many of the great causes that we will champion, the solutions won't come from Jeff Duncan or Tim Scott. They will come from the average person who lives in our state, who's been working on those solutions behind the scenes for a very long time. We only hope to elevate their solutions to a national prominence.
Okay. What committees? I got to change the subject here. I'm just going to be jumping up in the. I'm jumping up here. What committees are you going to serve on?
I will be. I will remain on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and I'm also going to be on the Rules Committee.
The Rules?
Yes. It is the committee that actually sees every piece of legislation that heads to the House floor has to first come through a very small, intimate committee called the Rules Committee. That committee controls the flow of legislation amendments to the floor of the House. It is a committee that does not allow you to spend much time on any other committee because it's labor intensive. So I'll start working on that today.
Wow. Now, a couple of the questions I want to ask you. First, I want to tell you that from South Carolina, we have brought you a clear quartz crystal. This is to promote clear thinking.
Ah, I like that.
And we thought that we brought all of our congressmen one of these, so we want to give you this right here. We hope you'll carry it with you in your pocket. No, it's a little large for your pocket, but we hope you'll keep it where you can.
Absolutely. I remember that this came from Ann from Greenwood, who has inspired me this morning, motivated me, and got me kicked up a notch, as Emerald would say it, take it up a notch. And I thank you for just a symbol of clarity.
Absolutely.
It's so important for us, especially in this place of opportunity.
It certainly is. Now, I just want to ask you one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
The state of South Carolina, you know, you were there. What do you think is going to, are we going to be able to work our way out of the problems that the state has? Of course, you were in the state house.
Yeah.
So.
The good news in our state is that we have a constitutional amendment that requires a balanced budget. That is saving the taxpayers of South Carolina every day in ways that we cannot measure. It is one of the most important pieces of legislation that passed far before I arrived in the State House. Our nation needs the exact same thing, a constitutional amendment to balance our budget. We will suffer in South Carolina through a very tight budget process. We will probably see another loss of $500 million to $1 billion of less revenue to anticipate the needs for the next 12 months. That is bad news. But what is good news is that we have the requirement to balance the budget. So we may lose some jobs on the state government level, which may not be a bad thing overall. But what we will see, though, is we will see the state remaining solvent. When you look at other states around this nation, like California or Illinois, what you see are states that are on the verge of bankruptcy. South Carolina is not there because we have a General Assembly and a new governor who will work hand in glove to make sure that the citizens of South Carolina remain a part of a state that is solvent. But it's going to be tough and it will be painful, but that's okay. We will have a state that we can be proud of 10 years from now.
All right. I know you have to go. I tell you what, though, I certainly hope that you will either come to Greenwood or there's talk of me having a wine right here, and I'll be able to come up here and just interview you guys again. So what do you think?
And I hope that you are here, and I will certainly always come to Greenwood and stop by and say hi. I come to the upstate fairly frequently. I love the upstate, the mountains there and the ocean on the coast. We have a beautiful state, and I'm thankful that I have had the opportunity to meet you and share some time with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we are looking forward to seeing what this new 112th Congress can do. Our eyes are going to be watching you, Tim Scott.
Yes, ma'am, and I appreciate that. Accountability is a necessity.
It is. Thanks so much today.
Y'all have a great day now.
All right. That sounds great. That is Congressman Tim Scott here with us. It has been an energizing, fabulous conversation. I just made a little error. I hope he'll still come back and see me again. All right, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.